Brethren, we, as members of the Church of God, who now have God's Holy Spirit and have been given an opportunity, we must make the most of it. We must make the most of this one chance that we have been given. We have been shown the big picture. It's been brought into full view. Following this path brings about blessings. It brings about a better way of life. It is also a time for us to be judged. It is our time to be judged. Now more than ever, we must see everything clearly. Today, I want to speak about some of the keys to staying focused. How do we stay focused? We must understand fully what our number one priority is, what we are to be focused upon. We are not to wander aimlessly around like so many others do. I was having coffee one evening this week, and there was a whole bunch of, school has started back up over at CSU, and a lot of the kids are out on the street now, and they come in all shapes and sizes and various forms. But one of the things I was noting is it's not only looking at their physicality, but the way that they're dressed, the way that they're acting. They're coming in, and so many of them, it just seems that they're searching for an identity. They're trying to become something, whether it's grunge or gothic, or some of them are effeminate, others are Rastafarian. It's just they run the gamut, and you have to sit back and muse to a certain degree that here are these 18, young 20-somethings, they're out there, they're getting in life, and they're trying to become an adult. They're trying to figure out where they're heading. But the problem is that as we look around the world, 20 years down the road, many of them are still looking for something. They don't know what. Their life doesn't have as much purpose. Or they're investing it into things that have no future, whether it's the Eastern ways, whether it's atheism, whether it's some political view that they're going to think this can be the answer for everything. Job, and we won't turn there, comes to mind where he talks about these people who are, they're groping in the darkness. They're without light. And that's what kind of came to mind when I was thinking about these people. Brethren, we are not to be like that way. We do not have to be that way. We should not be that way because we know what direction we're heading. We know what our priority is, what our first priority is. Let's look at it in Matthew 6 and verse 33. It is such an important part, and I know that we all know the scripture, but I think it's necessary, as we'll see even later, to go over this frequently. Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Our priority is set for us if we open up the pages of our Bible. And if you look at anybody's Bible, it doesn't say any other number but first. It doesn't say second or third or anything else. This is our first priority. It is a key. We need to be convicted of this way of life. And we must keep the law. We need to be convicted that we need to keep the law. We need to be convicted of the laws that we need to keep. Many other organizations are not even necessarily convicted of the laws that they're supposed to keep. We know these, and these are the things that we are supposed to be attaining first. This is the direction that we're supposed to be heading to. We, brethren, should be past trying to figure out what it is we're headed towards, what our first priority is. We need to be well grounded in these ways. Matthew 13 and verse 19. Matthew 13 and verse 19, and we're going to the parable, a well-known parable, and we're looking at the revelation of what it meant. In Matthew 13 verse 19, and you may want to put your bookmarker there. We'll come back to this chapter a few more times. But it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Brethren, do we understand the word of God? The answer to that should be a resounding yes, we do understand. If there is something that we don't understand, we need to make sure that we reconcile that in our minds. Brethren, we need to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Another scripture. The person without the solid foundation of the Word of God can and will be taken away by Satan. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 will read verses 11 through 16. If there was any doubt, if you had any doubt, if for whatever reason you just believe somebody because they're believable, don't. We need to make sure that we have the right and correct foundation, that we can prove it. Prove it in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:11. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the Word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading. Okay, so here we're saying, give attention to. Right here it's being said, focus on this. Here we go. Focus on reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Again, take heed, or focus. Focus on what you're doing. This is what he's saying here. Take heed to yourself. Focus on what you're doing and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. We have a goal, brethren. That goal is to be staying focused on the finish line. We have before us, in the words of the Bible, and ones that scriptures that we've read many times, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. We have been given this vision for the future. We have been given a well-defined and purpose-filled goal. As we pursue this goal, we need to prepare for derailers. Prepare for derailers. Derailers are things that knock us off the track. They can blindside us, and they can take us off the target. Things such as trials and tribulation. Going back to Matthew 13, verse 20 this time. Matthew 13 and verse 20. We are promised trials and tribulations, and they will come. And note what happens if we lose our focus when they do come. In Matthew 13 and verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So they have the word, and they received it, and they're very happy about it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Immediately he stumbles. He only endured for a short time. Other derailers of our faith are the enemies of our faith. Fear, doubt, human reasoning, worry. We know all these, and we combat them. We combat them with the perfect love, which casts out fear, with the certainty of the truth, which removes all doubt. We have reliance upon God instead of reliance upon self. Brethren, we are to use the armor of God. Again, we heard a message that covered the armor of God recently. We've heard messages many times before on the armor of God. We've seen articles on the armor of God. We've had several messages on the enemies of faith. Does that mean, then, that we should tune it out? That we should just oh, I've heard that before, let's move on? Or is there a reason that God wants us to hear things repeatedly? Does he know how we work? Of course he does. No, what this means is that we should now try to even gain more understanding by hearing it a second time, third time, or 40, 50 times. When we go to the feast, how many times have we heard the meaning of the feast? How many times have we been to the feast? Does that negate our need to listen to it once a year at least? Absolutely not. It gives us a greater requirement of what we need to be doing, of what we should know by now. And we should get more out of it. We should apply it more intently to our lives, to a greater extent. Our lives should be fuller because of it, so that the next time a derailer comes by, that we are not knocked off track, that we are prepared for it. The next key is to avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Now, these are things that we jump off the track for. We're not knocked off by them, but we choose to pursue them. Examples: money, sports, possessions, entertainment, fashion, hobbies, relationships. It's different for every person. Put your own in there. What is it that distracts you? You do need to identify what that is. The cares of this world can be very enticing. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13 again. We're not to allow the physical concerns to prevent us from serving God and doing what is right. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world. We've heard that many times. But, brethren, we even have to be careful about the things that are necessary. We need to be careful about them becoming an impediment to us keeping an eye on our target, from focusing in on the goal. In fact, when it's something that we should be doing, these are a little more surreptitious. They're the ones that can become a distraction without us fully realizing it, or before we realize it, or without us even knowing it. It can be things such as school, work, necessary things. Luke 10, verse 38. Let's look at an example of this. Luke 10 and verse 38. How necessary things can become a distraction. Luke 10, we'll read verses 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Somewhat indignant, you can imagine. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled. You're distracted about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. Brethren, this is why we need to keep the most important thing the most important thing. It's easy to let ourselves move away from our objective, especially when we have responsibilities in front of us. Brethren, we must be judicious with our time. In Ephesians 5:16 it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Brethren, we are living in those evil days. We are living in the end time. It is now time to buy back our time. We need to redeem our time. Satan is truly the master of using up our time, of distracting us, of sending us off on fool's errands, as it were. I came across this story on the internet that I had never heard before. And hopefully I wasn't the only one who hasn't heard it, because I'm going to read it now. But the story starts off, it says, Satan called a worldwide convention, as the story goes. The huge crowd hushed as he stepped up to speak. We can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. But we can do something else. He paused. Everyone listened. He said, we can keep them from forming an intimate, abiding experience in Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to church. Get this. Let them go to church. Let them have their conservative lifestyles, but steal their time so they can't gain that experience in Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining a vital connection through their day. How shall we do this? Shouted his minions. Simple. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life. Invent unnumbered schemes to occupy their minds, he answered. Tempt them to spend and spend and to borrow and borrow. Convince the wives to go to work and the husbands to work 6 or 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford their lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. Tell them they're doing it for their children. Ah, that one works well. As their family fragments, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear the still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or cassette player whenever they drive, to keep the TV, the VCR, and their CDs going constantly in their homes, and to see to it that every store or restaurant in the world plays music constantly. Fill their coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order catalogs, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering, free products, services, and false hopes. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted, disquieted, and unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go out in nature. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, and movies instead. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences and settled emotion. Don't let them encourage or uplift each other. Keep those who are the gifted encouragers especially busy and worn out. And above all, when they get together, keep them from praying for one another. Let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many good causes that they have no time to seek power from Christ. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family unity for the good of the cause. It was quite a convention in the end. And the evil beings went eagerly to their assignments, trying to cause Christians everywhere to get busy, 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 rush here and there. I thought it was insightful in many ways that we not only let Satan use up our time or to misdirect us or distract us, but obviously we let ourselves become distracted. We let society distract us and waste our time. Sometimes I think it might be a good idea for us to make a not-to-do list. I always have a to-do list, and I try to prioritize it and do it, but it's those things that we actually do that aren't on the to-do list. We don't have to put a lot of things on the to-do list that we will do. But some of these things can end up filling our day. Perhaps we need to come up, maybe start from the bottom and say, okay, well, here are all these things I really should take off the list and not to do, so that we can spend more time doing the things that we know that we need to be doing. Brethren, if we avoid these distractions, it would help us to be more effective at staying focused. When walking down the track, whether we're knocked to the side or whether we venture off the rails and to the side on our own, we must get back on the track and continue to move and look forward. That's the next key, is to look forward. Luke 17:26-32. Luke 17, verses 26 through 32. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were all given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, just like it is today. Verse 31, in that day he who is on the housetop and his goods are in his house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. In verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Let him not turn back. Let him not come down and take them away. Remember Lot's wife. Okay, let's remember her. Genesis 19, verse 26. I'll read it for you. No need to go there. Genesis 19, verse 26. We're going to remember Lot's wife. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. It doesn't say an awful lot more about Lot's wife, except for that. Yet, in all storytelling, it's one of the bigger stories. They make a whole story basically around this one verse. They don't tell us hardly anything else, but yet this has become something that's remembered, and it's a very... well, a disturbing visual image if you look at it at its base value. There's not a lot of fanfare, and it's kind of hard to read between the lines because there's only one line here. It says, his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. A heavy penalty for looking back and not looking forward. We know that the angels had to cajole them to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They actually grabbed them by the hand and brought them out of the land. But yet, whenever Lot's wife looked back, she was the one who turned to a pillar of salt. She looked back towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Brethren, is there anything that we have come out of that we're looking back to? Is there anything that the world has to offer that we want a part of? Do we want to go back to that way of life? Or should we rather be doing what Philippians 3 shows us to do? Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. As a Christian, we are to be not looking back, but rather looking forward. Verse 12 of Philippians 3, not that I have attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself too apprehended, but one thing I do, one thing that I focus on, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the direction that we're to be heading. We're to be heading toward and forward to the kingdom of God. Christ said that no one having put his hand to the plow, that is, no one that has begun to walk this way of life and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one having put his plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We are to be looking forward, so let's keep looking forward. We also need to keep, another key, the number one priority in the forefront of our mind. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, continuing the theme throughout, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Then verse 2, set your mind, focus. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. To do this, brethren, we need to review and renew. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Let's look at review. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. A portion of this is Christ quoted in the Gospels. In Matthew 22, I think it is. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1. Now this is the commandment. These are the statutes and judgment with the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. So with these commandments comes these blessings. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them. When? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Of course, when he talks about them on your hand and the frontlets of your eyes, he's speaking figuratively. To have them, though, what he's saying, in front of you always, in your hand, ready to read, ready to review. And when you teach them to your children, when do you teach them? Do you teach them once? No, you go over it again and again, in the same way that we are to be going over the Word of God. Here he's talking about these are the commandments. This is what we're supposed to be reviewing time after time. Then, when we keep these in the forefront of our minds, we can do it also by renewing. So review and renew. In Ephesians 4 and verse 20, we'll read Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. Brethren, we are to renew the inward man day by day. This is how we keep these things at the forefront of our mind. In Ephesians 4, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, this is what we're getting rid of, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and has nothing to do with the way of God. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Brethren, we are to renew and review frequently. We are to renew the goal in our minds often. We are to keep it ever before us. Brethren, we can do this in our prayer, our daily prayer, it should be. We can clarify it, and we do need to clarify it often and visualize what it is that we are to be seeking. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? I'm not going into it. You need to ask yourselves these questions. What does it mean? The gospel of the kingdom of God. There are many aspects to it. What does it mean for you personally? We all have different roles. We all have different abilities within those different roles. We are to grow within them as we are able. And we're to ask ourselves how we can best fulfill what we are supposed to be doing. And that is seeking the kingdom of God. How do we do that? It can be a different aspect, because the plan of God is a vast plan. And we can hone in on a different aspect of it every day, week, whatever period of time it may be. There's a lot that we can think on in terms of how do we seek the kingdom of God. And we are to do it when? We're to do it when we get up in the morning. We're to do it when we go to bed at night. And we're to do it in between those times. This is how we can sharpen our focus. And not only will we see what we are to be doing more clearly, but we will see that we are doing. Final time to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 23. The next key is to, it's always a good idea to keep track of our progress and to see if we're bearing fruit. In Matthew 13, verse 23, it says, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. To me, those are incredible amounts. And they're even more incredible when you consider the people that we just discussed before them in the prior verses, that they also heard the word, but then they had their problems. Brethren, we need to very conscientiously track our progress when it comes to bearing fruit. Of course, we do this at Passover, but this is obviously not the only time that we should do it. It's always a good thing to meditate on. Accurate self-evaluation. This will help to see where we have and where we haven't been fruitful, so that the places where we haven't, we can prune those. The places where we have can give us encouragement, can reinforce what we're doing, can reinforce the right things. Here's something that you can do to aid you in this quest. Just two questions. Every morning, ask yourself, how can I better focus on the kingdom of God today? That's just one question. How can I better focus on the kingdom of God today? And then ask yourself every night, how well did I seek the kingdom of God today? If we're forced to ask ourselves these questions on a daily basis, it may force us to actually do something about it. Because if we were to go out and we were to say this, how am I going to do this, and then we don't do it, I think we shame ourselves when we ask this question in the evening. Brethren, we need to be seeking the kingdom of God, and we need to be keeping track of how we're progressing. I'll cover the next point fairly quickly. Stay healthy. Proper diet and exercise. In the same way that medical studies have shown that proper diet and exercise help children to maintain focus in school and do better, we need to do the same if we expect to stay focused throughout our day spiritually. We take care of ourselves spiritually And we develop the power within so that we can fight the battles that come our way. We do this naturally with the big four: prayer, Bible study, fasting, and meditation. Please don't leave any of those out. Sometimes we tend to neglect meditation. That's probably one of the ones that, in regards to this sermon, should be given a priority in our lives, or much more of a priority, say, than we have been giving it. Because, getting back to avoiding distractions, if we are completely distracted throughout the day, every day, then when do we have that quiet time to just think things through? Also, just another note, we should keep healthy, and again, you may have thought this where I was going to begin with a proper physical diet and exercise. Keep it a proper physical health. Bible says that exercise profits little. Of course, that's always seen in a negative aspect. Yeah, it profits just a little bit, you know. More important thing is this, and it is. The spiritual aspect of our health is much more important. That is what we're getting to and getting at today, is that that is the more important thing. But it says it profits. Exercise profits. We could stop there. Exercise does profit. It profits little, but it does profit. So if we take care of ourselves physically with, you know, proper sleep, nutrition, diet, following the good laws of health, then we will be doing, again, something that we are supposed to be doing in terms of taking care of the temple of God. This is where the Holy Spirit resides. It's one of the reasons that we say do not smoke, is because we're supposed to be taking care of this temple. We need to continue to do that to more effectively stay focused on the church, on the seeking the kingdom, our first priority. Lastly, don't give up. Hebrews 10, we'll begin in verse 31, go down to 39. Hebrews 10, verses 31 to 39. When it comes to staying focused, we must never give up. Hebrews 10, verse 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It indeed is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. You endured a great struggle with sufferings. Does that sound familiar? We've all been through such things, as we already addressed earlier today. Verse 33, partly while you were made a spectacle, made fun of both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Our goal, to endure, to receive the enduring possessions. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't give up. Maintain your course. Maintain your focus, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Don't give up. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, if anyone gives up and doesn't endure to the end, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are not to be counted in the former group of those that turn back, those who give up. They turn back on what they came, and they go back to what they came out of. If we do this, brethren, it would have been better for us had we never known this. The Word of God, the truth, this great opportunity that we have been given. It would have been better had we not known that because of what will befall us. Human nature is weak. It wants to give up. It wants to give in. This is another reason why we need to stay close to God, why we need to use the tools that God has given to us, why we need to stay spiritually healthy. We need to bounce back quickly. We need to get back up, dust the dirt off our pants, get back on track, and get heading forward. Brethren, we need to prepare to endure to the end. We need to be in it for the long haul. Because he who endures to the end, that is the one that will be saved. The Bible is full of examples of people that have lost their focus. People who have given up. And as the Bible says, many walked with him no more. We can't afford to give up. We cannot become a statistic. Brethren, the purpose today was not to convince you that you need to do these things, but encourage you to be doers. We all know what we need to do. We just need to be doing it. What if I told you that you only had a year left? A year till whatever. A year till you died. A year till the Great Tribulation began. A year till we left for the place of safety. A year till Christ returned. Forgetting the math there and the events that happened before. But at any time, if you were told that you only had 1 year left, what would we do? What would we be doing? What wouldn't we do? What shouldn't we do? Brethren, we need to focus. We need to refocus. We need to stay focused on the soon coming kingdom of God. Not just the kingdom of God, but the soon coming kingdom of God. Because, brethren, the end is inevitable. In fact, we are living in the last generation, this generation. We need to stay focused on the finish line. We have come so far. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. And let's finish strong.